Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be speaking about repentance from dead works. This message is for those who have a heart after God and want to be ready for His appearing. This message is dedicated especially to those who want to fulfill God's plan in their lives in the time that's left. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Repentance from dead works is part of your first works, so you need to get this right before you start. A solid foundation includes three things. Number one, the doctrine of Christ. Number two, repentance from dead works. And number three, faith towards God. Some go back to doing dead works soon after they're born again because they never made Jesus Lord and they just don't believe. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It is possible to do the perfect will of God by making Jesus Lord. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 12. This is John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name." You can only do what God requires through the Spirit if you believe in His name or His authority. If you do not believe in His ability, you will end up doing your own works instead. If you're still doing dead works, you should repent. There is a judgment at the very end. We read in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 12 and 13. I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." If you believe your works done in this life are good enough, they will be examined at that final judgment. If they were done in the flesh, they will not be good enough. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." If you insist that your works are good enough and do not repent of dead works, you will be at this judgment. every work you believe to be good will be read out at the judgment on the last day. There is a record kept in heaven of everything you have done in this life. Have no doubt. God is not limited by storage room to keep all this information, and does not rely on a computer either. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Lazy believers are hoping that they can make heaven at the end of their lives by making a sincere prayer that will make God happy. This is a very popular belief, especially among comfortable born-again believers. This is based on the assumption that God does not keep records and forgets details. They believe he will accept a correctly worded, religious, and sincere prayer that will make up for all the times they were lazy, living in the flesh, on the broad road that leads to destruction. Those on the broad road listen to their emotions and feelings and believe that they are being totally honest with themselves, but they're actually deceiving themselves. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be." So unless your mind has been totally and completely renewed, and you're living in the kingdom of God consistently, you're actually listening to a wrong voice. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 7, he said, "Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's." Paul was an example of somebody who had renewed his mind by following Christ daily on the narrow way, and he was not relying on outward appearances. I believe each person who does not make Jesus Lord now will be in that final judgment. You might call Jesus Lord when no one is listening, but in these last days, you will have to call Jesus Lord when persecution starts. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, I'm reading Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." Verse 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." Many Christians have already denied the Lord in order to do what they want to do in the flesh. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would want." If you do not like the flesh, obey the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Your mind and flesh will betray you. Eve made a wrong choice. We read in Genesis chapter 3, and I'm reading from verses 6 to 10. This is Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Verse 9, "And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Verse 10, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam and Eve sinned against God and made for themselves something else to take away their nakedness before God. We read in the book of Isaiah 30 and verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Hiding only brings grief." We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, 13 to 16. This is Isaiah 29 and verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men." Verse 14, "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the wisdom of their prudent men shall be hid." Verse 15, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us? Who knows us?" Verse 16, "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing that framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding?" Timing's running out when people just call him Lord in the church and do not obey the Spirit of Christ. This is mocking God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will be left behind who call Jesus Lord and yet keep using their minds to make decisions. When the wise do not know what to do and the learning of the prudent is forgotten, time is running out. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." The word woe in Strong's is number 3759, and its primary exclamation of grief or woe. You can depart from iniquity through conviction and repentance by living in the light, being led by the Spirit. As you follow him, you can learn as well and recognize more and more what was directed by the flesh in the past. Do not stop this process and hide instead. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, "And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Verse 20, "For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Verse 21, "But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." What is your attitude to the light? Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." You cannot hide from God anyway, so it's far better to endure correction and repent. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He provides everything else you need to obey, since he is God and he is the Word. So there is no excuse for disobeying his commands or not following his instructions. Your part is to repent and believe. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you come to God, you have to believe that he is God. He is going to reward you for diligently seeking him. He does not have two standards. God is love, but he's also light. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, Adam was hiding because of fear. Through sin, Adam had lost the fellowship and intimacy with God he experienced at the beginning. His feelings were affected, and he listened to his feelings and went into hiding. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading verses 14 to 17. This is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou be cold or hot. Verse 16, So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Verse 17, Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. This judgment was made against one church, but if you are lukewarm and comfortable in this world, you also will have to repent. Otherwise, Jesus Christ will have to apologize to the church of Laodicea, and I don't believe he will do that. God is always right. And David said in Psalm 51, verses 2 to 4, I'm reading. This is Psalm 51, starting in verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Now is the time to get right with God, before it's too late. Jesus continued in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I'm reading from verses 18 to 20. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white garment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that they mayest see. Verse 19, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you repent, as Jesus said here, do your first works properly and go back to hearing and obeying his voice and open the door to your heart, he will come to you. Then intimacy is restored. It is not restored by making him your Savior. Repentance must include doing works of faith. The works you do for him will also be tried in the fire beforehand to make sure what sort they are. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm starting in verse 13 and I'm reading to verse 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so, as by fire. As you follow Christ, you find out if the works you are doing are still dead works or not. So you have time to repent and do something that is acceptable instead. You can read the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain was jealous of his brother, and you cannot offer any works if you hate your own brother in Christ and easily get angry. Also in Jude, we read in Jude chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. I'm reading verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. If you are rich, you love money and big meetings with food, giving to the poor. Do not think you escape the judgment, even if you call Jesus Lord. We read in the book of Isaiah 17 and verse 12, woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Repentance from dead works means you do the works he planned, and this may involve a little suffering as well. Peter explains in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm reading from verses 16 to 18. This is 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? If you go through the judgment and chastening now, then it will not happen at the end. Those who do not obey the gospel are in danger, because the judgment they face is all at the end, and they'll have no time to repent. So if you do not repent now when corrected, there are consequences. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This was a church that had learned how to obey the Spirit instantly. In the Amplified Bible, in Philippians 2:12, it says this, so then, my dear ones, just as you've always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, that is to cultivate, carry out the goal and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. You need to be teachable and learn spiritually, as otherwise you will keep doing dead works using your mind. Paul was talking about Jesus and said this in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He can redeem you fully when you make him Lord. You're supposed to complete your salvation by the Spirit with excellent works that are acceptable unto God. Paul also said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. He is Lord, and he sent you here, and so he knows the plan. Do not get in touch with your emotions and feelings, but get in touch with God and listen to Him. The works you do now after salvation are the ones He has planned for you, and they are easy when you submit to Him. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Cannot be saved by doing works of any kind without God. Otherwise you could boast. You are born in sin, and your soul is like a battery inside that is running out of power because it's not connected to Him. Your soul is also being destroyed by consulting your mind. Your soul was designed to hear from God. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you could be saved by doing dead works, you would no longer need a Savior, and Christ died in vain. But His death on the cross of Calvary reconnected you to God. Only those who hear and obey His voice will not perish. Do not deceive yourself. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul was the workmanship of Christ, and he had been transformed. Old things should be passing away, and new things becoming new. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, I'm starting in verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, that this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Some church denominations reject Christ and His teachings, and come up with commandments of men instead. You will repent of dead works and rely completely on the Holy Spirit to direct you if you are hot for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. In the New Testament, there were some Jews that did not know about the Holy Spirit, but were still repentant. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. I'm reading. This is the book of Acts, chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. Verse 2, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard where there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Verse 7, and all the men were about 12. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the Jews to get ready. All of the rest of the Jews rejected Christ and crucified him. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jews did not accept Christ as their Lord. Those who do accept Jesus follow him, not a set of rules. We read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of them together was about 120. The crowds had gone, and only 120 had not denied Christ. and still following the instructions of Jesus Christ. We read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me." The first lesson for those disciples was to wait. They were to make disciples and see them experience the Holy Spirit in the same way. You're not supposed to do anything without the Holy Spirit. Every time you disobey God, you have to first get in the flesh. James said in James chapter 1, verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed." It is possible to kill the flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verses 10 to 13, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 10. "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived unto God." Verse 11, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Verse 13, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Romans 6 and verse 10 in the Amplified says, "For by the death he died to sin, ending his relation to it once and for all, and the life that he lives, he is living to God in unbroken fellowship with him. Reckon or count yourselves dead by not listening to yourself, your emotions and your feelings, and your own mind. Serve God completely by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. It is not enough just to think your flesh is dead or just by saying a prayer." The word reckon in Strong's is number 3049. It's in the middle voice. It's taken from another word, which means to make an inventory or an estimate, to conclude or count. To reckon means to make an inventory. Start by making a list of all the ways that your flesh has access to your will. Then start to close off every area that is feeding the flesh by abstaining. You should be suspicious of activities you enjoyed in the past without asking the Lord, as these will most certainly have strengthened the flesh. If you start arguing with God and say, "This is okay," or "That is okay," then you're not going to kill the flesh. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." We were created to serve Christ. This is real freedom. If you do anything else other than God's perfect will, you will struggle to do it anyway, and life will not be easy and full of grief. If you are trying to kill the flesh, submit yourself to God, or at least to someone else who you know is following Christ and killed his or her flesh. Those who reserve the right to do what they want will never kill the flesh. Galatians 5 and 13 in the Message Bible says this: "It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Instead, use your freedom to be led by the Spirit in all things, and the flesh will die." Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, "If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Your life depends on killing the flesh so that you can also obey Christ. When you ignore the flesh, it will be annoyed. It might scream or demand some attention, but you ignore it. This is part of mortifying the flesh, so do not go back to listening to it again. You must choose to live by the Spirit from now on, even if the flesh is not completely dead in all areas. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You stop listening to the old nature by putting on the new nature. The louder the carnal nature screams, the closer it is to dying. Have no mercy. Jesus is our example of denying self and overcoming. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus was a servant and died for all mankind, not just the ones who believed on him. He died to give everyone an opportunity to be saved. To do this work, he did not think, but just obeyed and had no relation to sin by yielding to his own mind or consulting his own will. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. By making Jesus Lord and obeying the Spirit, you will be saved. Paul said in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In the Amplified Bible, the same scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, give yourself up to him, take yourself out of your own keeping, and entrust yourself into his own keeping, and you'll be saved. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. There's no option just to accept Jesus as your Savior. If you believe on the Savior Jesus Christ and still do what you want, you'll be left behind. When you believe and accept him as Lord of your life, there are three things you will do. Number one, give yourself up to him and establish him as Lord. Number two, not look out for your own well-being and comfort in this temporal world. Number three, listen to his every instruction through the Holy Spirit so that he can fully take care of you and keep you. You need to know there is nothing good in you. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. Your foundation should include the doctrine or teachings of Christ as well, and faith in God. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 26, I'm reading. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, and let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? Verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Jesus taught two things in this verse that you should do to follow Christ. Have you heard a message like this in church recently? These are the doctrines and teachings of Christ repeated in the Bible several times. Making Jesus your Savior by a prayer will not save you. This is not on the menu here. You have to lose your life for him or be a castaway. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. There is a corruption in this world through the natural system of learning. And this is how the devil also got into the church. The devil appealed to so-called Christian leaders who wanted wisdom, just like Eve in the Garden of Eden, but were not willing to pay the price. She was tempted and took from the knowledge of good and evil instead. There is no shortcut to holiness. Either you are on the narrow way or you will perish. Paul said in Ephesians 5 and 11, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Churches today need to repent of using their minds. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. People do not see the need to be spiritual. A carnal person does not want to ask God about everything and would defend his right to use his or own mind. In this situation, use meekness, as otherwise you might be tempted to listen to excuses and strong arguments yourself. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can only be spiritually minded by trusting God completely. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not your own understanding. Verse 6, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We live by faith in what God decides. Trusting God is faith in God's love for us. If you trust God, you will not lean to your own understanding, because this is the opposite of trusting God. Then you will acknowledge him in all your ways and not do your own works any more, but his. We read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, Be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. By grace now, we can ask God what to do and get an answer. If you are wise in your own eyes, then you will not ask God and end up on a way that seems right instead. Dead works include bad works, but also good works that God did not direct you to do. However, carnal leaders rely instead on their own minds to determine what is right and wrong. Paul was speaking about the things of God and said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But God that revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You need the doctrines of Christ as you follow him. Thoughts will come to your mind without consulting your mind. Jesus said to his own disciples in John 14 and verse 26, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The church has rejected the teacher of teachers and uses the same system of learning as the world to study the Bible. They will face the judgment. You should expect the Holy Spirit to bring thoughts to your mind instead. We do not teach ourselves using our own mind. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. Reading of Scripture was vital in the early church, as it is today. Have you read the whole Bible at least once? You should read the whole of the Old and the New Testament. If you're following Christ, especially the teachings of Jesus, should be coming back to your mind when needed. Keep your mind still. Believe and abide in Him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." If the Holy Spirit brings a scripture to your mind, that is spiritual. Then compare this with other things that He has said before. You should keep a record of all the scripture and messages that He wanted you to record in a notebook. When something is spiritual, the Holy Spirit will bear witness, especially if that truth comes from a godly person teaching. Only the Holy Spirit can rightly divide the Word of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 139 and verse 17, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, and how great is the sum of them." Carnal Christians who want to understand God's written Word often end up in a Bible school trying to understand the things of God with their mind. This is almost mocking God to think that man can understand God's ways so easily using the natural mind, or that darkness can comprehend the light. Samuel Chadwick said this, "The man who thinks he can know the Word of God by mere intellectual study is greatly deceived. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned." Samuel Chadwick was the principal lecturer at Cliff College near Chesterfield in England, who influenced Leonard Ravenhill. And if you are trying to get to know God through reading and studying your Bible with your mind, you are wasting your time. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "But the natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You cannot get to know God without first becoming a disciple and following Christ. Jesus is the truth. And if you do not deny yourself completely and take up your cross daily, you will remain carnal. Those people God used in the past all had to suffer for Christ. The only way you can get to know God is by getting on the narrow way yourself, or following somebody else who's following Christ. In the revised edition of My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 1, on pages 1 and 2, Joseph Hedgecott says, "There have been thousands of books written about God by people who have known Him to some measure. You can study books about those who were recognized as great men and women of God. You may glean out what they learned about God during the time they were in ministry. Many of these faithful servants walked with God for 50 or 60 years, and you can gain some insight into what God is like by studying their lives. This has been the approach many believers have taken in trying to learn more about God. Many have also studied the writings of Paul, Peter, or others whose relations are included in God's Word. In that way, more knowledge about God and how He operates can be gained. However, this has created a problem in theology. The church has focused on studying about God rather than the study of God. We've labeled the study about God as theology. And this is taught in seminars and Bible college all over the world. Believers study the Bible as well as other books written by men and women of God to see what they have to say about Him. But we've missed the most important thing, which is the personal, individual study of God ourselves. Pure theology is not the study about God, it is the study of God. And God intends for us to get to know Him through a personal relationship with Him. You cannot study God with a microscope or a telescope. He is everywhere. The only way to study God is to see what He does with your life when you become a living sacrifice. Bible college is for comfortable Christians who think they can understand the things of God with their natural mind. The moment you start using your own mind trying to understand the things of God, how will you be saved or escape evil? You will end up in a guilted prison instead, like those Jewish leaders that crucified Christ. For more information on how the devil can deceive you easily using your mind, please read the book, The Guilted Prison, the revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Did you understand your first obligation is to obey Christ or perish? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you have He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If you keep disobeying the Holy Spirit, how will you be saved? Today, we do not hear the Lordship of Jesus Christ being preached. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Many offer salvation as a prayer. But you cannot just make Jesus your Savior. This is like choosing something that's not on the menu. The evangelist Charles Grandison Finney, who lived from 1792 to 1875, was an American Presbyterian minister and leader in the Second Great Awakening in the United States. The great American evangelist Charles Finney led many to Christ. He described his after-inquiry meetings like this. The point was frequently urged upon everyone to give their full consent to Jesus. They were told that the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them. They were told to seek the lowest terms upon which they could possibly be saved. Pains were taken to shut the sinner up and accept Christ, his whole will, atonement, official work, and official relations. Everyone had to renounce all sin, all excuse-making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here, now, and forever. If you want to get the doctrines of Christ, then you should read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, I'm reading, for at a time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles or the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. You have to use milk and process it spiritually first. Milk is correction and basic truth in the Word that the Holy Spirit can apply to your daily life. If you have not learned how to process things spiritually, God will not give you strong meat. Stop using your mind and learn to obey first. John said in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Since the beginning, everything has come through the Word, and nothing has existed without the Word. Even the plan of salvation came through the Word. Jesus is the Word. We also did not arrive on this planet without the Word. We should also not be functioning without the Word now. We read in John 14 and verse 6, "And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Dead works is anything that comes from you. Life comes from God alone through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the kingdom comes through the Word. You have to be authorized before you do anything, because only God brings life. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 3, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." You are a dead soul, cut off from God. But your soul comes alive when you hear and obey. Jesus is willing to be Lord of your life. You have the honor and blessing that comes from obeying him and letting him use you. But you cannot have the glory, because he is the Word and everything good originates from him. We read in the book of Isaiah 42 and verse 8, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." God does not want you to do dead works, because this will also bring a curse on your life. He wants you to do the work through you instead, so that sowing and reaping through you is pure. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If God could be mocked, he would no longer be the judge. He has decided everyone will reap what he has sown, including the devil. Paul continues in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, "For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." If you do not like what you're reaping, change your sowing. If you're born again, you have an option at least to sow to the Spirit. But if you're not hearing his voice or are not being led by the Spirit, how can you sow to the Spirit? If you're born again, start seeking God for commands and instructions. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26, "And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and lazy servant, thou knowest that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I have not strawed." The wicked and lazy servant did nothing. God sent us here with a job to do. And if you let him do what he wants to do through you, then you will reap what he has sown through you. This is good news. You get blessed. You have the fruit of the Spirit too. However, if you resist this process, Jesus will still reap where he had not sown at the judgment, because he is Lord. You need to repent of doing your dead works before it's too late. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns, or figs or thistles?" Time is running out. No one is going to gather thistles. Thistles are the result of dead works. So examine yourself now. The word "sow" in Strong's is number 4687. It strengthens through, in other words, is the idea of extending or scattering, or literally sowing. But it also means to receive. Sowing is an action you cannot do without reaping. God created man as an authority to sow and bless all of creation by passing on something godly and perfect. God created man to rule and represent him. You get blessed in this process and enjoy more of God, because you are a channel of his goodness. You reap what was sown, even though his goodness did not originate in you, but came from God. God is love. And he is not selfish. But he does get the glory, and this goes back to him. It is a privilege to have this goodness flow through us. Godly sowing can only be done in the Spirit by following his instructions out of a love relationship and obeying them by faith. Jesus said in John 14 and 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The kingdom of God is here now, but God is not forcing anyone to obey. He will rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years so that everyone can see how his word should have been applied to the earth. The earth will be transformed and everyone will be astonished when they see the effectiveness of the written word and how it should have been applied. Scientists will be humbled and everyone who believes there is no God will be seen as an absolute fool, even if they have a PhD. The psalmist said in Psalms 14 and verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and they are corrupt, and they have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good." God will not use everyone during the millennial reign. He will only use those who instantly obey him because they are meek. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The inhabitants of the earth will see in a short time the earth turn into a paradise based on the instructions of Jesus ruling in Jerusalem, and the earth will heal. This healing will take some time, but it will not take 1,000 years. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Verse 9, "And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Apostle Peter is writing his last letter before he's crucified upside down, according to tradition. And he says not to be ignorant of one thing in verse 8. You might have thought that this would be something like the wages of sin is death, or the lordship of Jesus Christ. But he mentions how God sees time. He's speaking to the elect and tells them God controls time. The moment you repent and sow by the Spirit, he speeds everything up, so that you can benefit from sowing to the Spirit and reap. But if you sin, he slows everything down so that you do not reap the consequences of sin, giving you time to repent. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. When you are sinning, it may even seem like God is taking 1,000 years with you. Nevertheless, you are slowing yourself down because you have not repented of dead works. We can learn from the fact that the Jews spent 40 years in the wilderness when they could have made the same journey in 40 days. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." The end of the world has now been coming for about the last 2,000 years. It looks like our time is up. Mankind has had about 6,000 years to do everything he should have done and failed. The earth is still a mess. Now Christ will show how it should have been done in the millennial reign in 1,000 years. He will not need all that time either. A total of 7,000 years seems to be God's plan. The creation in 6 days seems to equal 6,000 years for man in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. One article explains that there are 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham and 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus. The last 2,000 years for the church, making a total of 6,000 years. then there will be 1,000 years for Jesus' rule and reign, and this will be also a time when creation can rest. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Charles Finney knew what God wanted in terms of repentance as a lawyer in his own mind. However, he often agonized in prayer over these revivals because God's ways are not man's ways. He sought God to make sure he did not help God or interfere with God's plans and just serve. It is recorded that many times Charles would even just put his finger into the pages of the Bible and start preaching at whatever point his finger landed. Typically, he would preach for 2 to 3 hours and it would flow. He often tried to record on paper what God said through him after a great message, but God would not let him. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." One Methodist lay preacher I met many years ago once said to me, "One thing I want you to remember, it is, let go and let God." The psalmist says in Psalms 51 and verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom." God does not let us pass certain levels if we have not learned certain things first. Our motive has to be love, for example. For more information on having the right motive, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. The children of Israel did not enter the promised land, and even Moses failed to enter. Remember that Moses was also the most humble person on the face of the earth at that time. So I think we should not be high-minded. Paul said in Romans chapter 11 and verse 20, "Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest now by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear." If Jesus is Lord of your life, then you are always learning what you need to learn at the right time. Joseph Hedgecock always warned me to make sure the Word changed me first. I went through some hard lessons with Joseph, and he said some things bluntly to me. This was especially when I was using my mind trying to understand the things of God and needed correcting. This correction was sometimes painful, but I chose this as opposed to becoming a castaway. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." God is going to put the brakes on the work you are doing if you have not learned what you need to learn now. Diligently seek God and work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Do not learn anything with your mind, as you will just end up going around and around in circles like the children of Israel. Time can pass slowly when you are not learning the lessons you need to learn. And when you are having fun, it goes quickly. This is the way it should be. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. I'm reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Verse 28. "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God blessed Adam and Eve, but this was before the fall of man, when there was a connection between God and man. However, the plan to multiply and subdue the earth had to be delayed because of sin. It's interesting that Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel and waited a while before they had another child. Time was created for our benefit, so we could come to repentance, change before it's too late. Man lived a lot longer after creation and had time to follow God's original plan. The plan was for the whole earth to be ruled by His word through mankind, not for mankind to rule. One person learned the right lesson. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. You can also please God by doing the works He has planned for you to do now. What God did at the creation in 6 days gave man a head start. God gave Adam the Garden of Eden to keep as an example of what He wanted multiplied on the whole earth. Nearly 6,000 years later, under man's leadership, the earth is still not like the Garden of Eden. The earth will be restored with the manifestation of the sons of God and by Christ in the last 1,000 years. But this can also start in you by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Time gives everyone a possibility to change and get the proper foundation before it's too late. Once you have made the change through repentance from dead works, you can live in the kingdom of God by grace through faith. Time can go fast when you make Him Lord. What might take a lifetime can happen quickly when He's Lord. On the other hand, God can slow everything down so that you begin to realize something is wrong. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Milk is to be used for repenting of dead works. Milk is for conviction. Joseph Hedgecock would always remind me to let the word of God change me first. Using spiritual milk to complete doctrines is like a baby playing on the ground. You have all your toys and you're trying to fit all these teachings together, but you do not know how. You are trying to make everything work, but you are unskillful because you are carnal. Also, you have not repented of dead works, and that is why you're still a baby. You will also remain a babe, too, unless you learn how to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. This is why we recommend you use a notebook to record everything that brings conviction. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able. Verse 3. For ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Worldly believers do things for themselves. Some believe God helps those who help themselves. This leads to envy and strife. This is what was happening in Corinth, and the focus was on material gain. Today the church is very similar. Maybe you do not believe that you have a heavenly Father who loves you and is there to take care of you. God is love, which means that God does everything out of love. His motive is pure. He is not selfish. If you believe that, you will make Him Lord of your life. If you believe God loves you, then do not go back to the way you were before and strive to get everything you want in the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God knows the end from the beginning, and He knows whether something should even be attempted or not. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 32, he that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God will give us all things, even things for the mature, when we're ready. Go slowly at the beginning. Follow God's direction, and you will avoid dead works. See conviction as a blessing. James says in James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Do not make excuses for sinning because of time. For you to do a dead work, you have to use your mind and be Lord of your own life. Bad fruit will keep appearing if you lean to your own understanding. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is the only solution for sin. Also, if you come to God, you have to believe he is light. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. This means that God cannot be tempted. James said in James 1 and 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Some of you want to grow up and are not ready for strong messages. You must first obey what God says in the milk of his word. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When God tells us to do things, it's based on what he has provided, not on our limited resources. And when we have nothing, God can use us more because we cannot help him and then mess up the plan. The baby, for example, might try to help his daddy lift a heavy suitcase, even though it cannot. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, for God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. To confound the mighty is part of your calling, but let go and let God do everything through you. Paul continues in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between both good and evil. In Hebrews 5 and 14, Paul is using a different word that is translated as good. In Strong's, it's number 2570. It doesn't have a certain affinity, but it means beautiful. But chiefly good, literally or morally, that is valuable or virtuous, for appearance or use. It's implied to be pure, fair, good, honest. This word good, meaning valuable, is used in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 7, 18 to 19, Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, Matthew 13 and verse 8, Matthew 13 and verse 23 to 24, Matthew 13 and verse 27, Matthew 13, 37 to 38, Matthew 13 and verse 45, and Matthew 13, verse 48. By implication, this word means healthy, wholesome, valuable, fit for the master's use. Good in this context is doing something which is pleasing to God. The word evil in Hebrews 5 and 14 is number 2556. It's apparently a primary word meaning worthless. Intrinsically, it also means depraved or injurious, bad, evil, harmful. You must do everything in the Spirit, even when you examine your own selves. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, and know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96, and it's from another word which basically means unapproved, rejected, by implication worthless, a castaway. You can also examine yourself by looking at your fruit. Jesus said in John 15 in verses 5 to 8, this is John's Gospel, chapter 15, I'm reading from verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abides not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Hereunto is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You will not produce the fruits of the Spirit without abiding in the vine. Without him as the source and the Holy Spirit directing, your works are ineffective and worthless. Paul had a personal relationship with Christ and was determined to obey Christ whatever the cost. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When Jesus comes back, the earth will be restored in a short time, using just a few saints, obeying his instructions, and the earth will be a paradise again. Jesus will demonstrate what could have happened on this earth now, in a short time. However, you need to enter the kingdom now. Jesus said, in Matthew 18 and verse 3, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You will have a guaranteed job for eternity if he is the functional Lord of your life. Overcome sin and the devil and you'll get promoted. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 and 28, I'm reading. This is Jesus speaking in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Verse 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. The morning star is an angel. We read in Job 38 and verse 7, and when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So, when you get up in the morning, an angel will be there to assist the work that needs to be done every morning for 1,000 years. You get your own angel every morning to assist you in the millennial kingdom because you learned how to serve. You will not get this angel if you have not learned to get up early every morning to seek God. It is possible to be part of the greatest government that has no end. Your system of communication will be better than email. You will not have a desk job where you need a computer. You will have an angel instead. And when you have to send a message, it will go by angel mail. And I don't think anyone will ignore the instructions of the angel. Jesus continued in Revelation 2 and 29, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. This is a message for the churches. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and verse 44, therefore be ye also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man comes. God is on your side, trying to give you an inheritance. Paul said in Ephesians 2:10 that by grace through faith, we are his workmanship when we are abiding in Christ. If you have repented of doing dead works, you can make a start doing good and pleasing works immediately. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. In Christ, you will also be in a process of correction and chastening yourself. He is not ashamed to call you brother or sister if you are submitted to him and changing. Through the sanctification process, we grow spiritually. You learn obedience as a son of God as you are led by the Spirit. As you stay submitted to him, you will bring glory to God. Conviction is a blessing. When processing conviction, make a decision to not listen to your mind, because through this, you will end up judging yourself and serving the law instead of Christ. Paul said it himself in Romans 7 and verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so with this mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Do you believe conviction is a blessing? We live by faith, so if we cannot receive conviction as a blessing, you're believing a lie. Please keep a watch on your attitude to conviction so you don't fall back into using your mind. Your carnal mind can easily come to some quick conclusions and judgments without the Holy Spirit, but this will always be wrong. Let God judge you with his grace and his mercy now, so you will not be judged when he appears. He wants you to come to repentance. If you do not repent of what he is showing you now and get free, then you will hear God speak on the same subject when it's too late to change anything. We were given the Holy Spirit as a gift from God and the gift of eternal life to help us repent. If you are getting answers and are repenting of what he is showing you, then you are working out your salvation by grace through faith. Remember, you are his workmanship, and let him complete the work in you. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, not by our own efforts. So it's best to use a notebook to record conviction, then seek a time to get in the Spirit and process everything with him. If you get under condemnation, then you are in the flesh. If you're using your notebook, stop and repent. Even if you can process a list of sins in the Spirit for just a few minutes, that is better than continuing in the flesh. The flesh cannot please God. If you are not sowing to the Spirit, then you are sowing to the flesh. There are only two options. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision to start on that narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily and experience repentance regularly, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from the truth that is available now by the Spirit. If you know that you've resisted truth and want to know why, then I recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today you've been hearing a message about repentance from dead works. You have an opportunity to connect with God to hear from Him and to be led by His Spirit. He is going to do the work through you. You're not going to have to strive or work. He is going to provide everything you need, everything that you need spiritually to live and function as He wanted you to function. Your responsibility is to get rid of those things that are hindering that work being done in you. And He will even help you with that process. Let God do this work in you. As I mentioned, God can do a quick work in you. The more you submit, the more you let go, the quicker He can do the work. The more you resist, the more the whole process is slowed down, and we don't have a lot of time left. Jesus is coming soon. Let me pray with you right now and commit you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, everyone who's been listening to this message, Father, you have called them to live the holy life, to live by your Spirit, to listen, to cling, to lean to, and rely on your Spirit. And Father, you have provided everything that they need through hearing your voice. And Father, I pray that they will make you Lord, that they will submit to you completely and recognize that God, you are showing them how to continually be led by the Spirit. And you are speaking all the time. Father, I pray that you encourage them at this time, that they may be faithful in obeying your Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. I hope you've really enjoyed this message today. As a ministry, we're here to help those who have a heart after God. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the details will follow. And also at the end, there will be a summary on the scriptures used in this message today. God bless you.